All right, good evening, everyone. We are down to the third and last installment of our series called TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. What we're going to talk about here tonight is very simple. You know what? This will just basically seal everything that was preached the past 2 Sundays. I believe all of us here have a different perspective of work right now. And you know what? You don't have to be like this minion right here, okay, who dread that it's Monday. You don't have to have any withdrawals, okay, simply because it's Monday tomorrow. Okay, I don't know with you, but as we were looking into this series, I realized that, you know what, Christians as we are, we have some fits of, you know, or moments in our life wherein we dread coming to work or going to work on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. So as we land this series here tonight, we're going to look at the third one, which talks about the man who works. Now look at this one. It is quite fascinating to understand this, that the Hebrew, that the original Hebrew word for the word work is the word avoda. All right? If you try to look at the scriptures, you would come to understand that the word work is taken from the Hebrew word avoda. And what is fascinating here is this one. All throughout your scriptures, you would come to understand that the word worship is also taken from the Hebrew word avoda. So meaning to say, the word avoda can be interchangeably used to mean work or worship. Are folks catching this? What's the relevance of that to all of us here tonight? Here's what I want you to understand. Because it comes from the same Hebrew word, it gives you a picture, friends, that your work is an act of worship to God. Whatever that is, I want you to understand, folks, that that is an act of worship to God. Having said that, it would be safe for me to say that if work is a worship, then I suppose the level of excitement that we have on a Sunday should be the same as that of a Monday, because Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday is also an opportunity to worship God. Not just on a Sunday. If we have this kind of perspective, what I'm going to preach here tonight is basically the foundation of work that God has given us. I want us to turn our Bibles for a while to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read verse 26 down to verse 31. It says here, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. Last verse. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." I was looking into these verses last night in Genesis chapter 1, specifically verse 26 down to verse 31. And there's something that I would want us to catch here tonight. I want you to catch this. If you look at this verse, as you would come to understand, that there is a very solid framework that I would basically want all of us to understand, that if we begin to catch this, this is going to revolutionize our thinking about God's blessings over our lives. And here it is. I'm going to put this up, and then we're going to qualify it. It says here, look at this one. "You have been blessed to work. You don't work to be blessed." Hello? You read those verses, you would get into this conclusion that you have been blessed by God to work. Not the other way around. Your work, the truth is, your work is not your source. God is your source. In fact, even before working, you are already blessed. If we begin to embrace this truth, I tell you what, you're going to have a different perspective with regards to God's blessings over your life. Let me just go on and read verse 26 for a while. I think this is very, very important. Look at this one. It says here, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Let me just stop there for a while. I think this is very important. Maybe some of you are thinking, what in the world does that verse have something to do with my current job or work right now? I want you to catch this. The Bible says God made man in his image. Why is that important? Before we even begin to talk about the workplace, before we even begin to talk about your current job right now, why is it important to continually understand that you have been created in the image of God? Because I want you to understand is when God created you, He has forged His image in you. So how does that translate to our, or how does that become relevant to all of us here tonight? I want you to catch this. If you have been made in the image of God, then it goes on to say that every single day, even before you wear your corporate ID, you have to wear first your identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you get to do that every day, it's going to save you a lot of trouble from the workplace. Every single day, the moment you understand who you are in Christ, you don't have to be arrogant, you don't have to feel insecure, because you know you're standing before God. Are folks with me? Because you know you're standing before God. So in verse 28, it says here, after creating Adam and Eve, this is what the Bible says, after creating Adam and Eve, putting the eyes, putting the nose, the ears, everything, when they were already in, the Bible says God went to them and what? God blessed them. God blessed them. Then after blessing them, here's what it says here, and God blessed them, and then God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. What do you catch here? What do you catch here? These verses are telling us that even before God told us to work, He blessed us first. You have been blessed by God to work. You don't work to be blessed. This is a scripture that I believe is very, very important for us to embrace. This gives us a picture that the blessing came first before the work. Hello? Can you imagine that? Just imagine with me for a while. Even before working, you are already blessed. Can you imagine that? I mean, this is one of the gifts that God is giving you. That as a person, your starting point, the moment you wake up, how do you wake up every morning? Diba? The moment you stretch and yawn, for that matter, the moment you open your eyes, guess what? You have already been blessed by God. The moment you open your nap to go into your workplace, your starting point is the blessing of God. It gives you a picture that a state of blessedness is a position. It is not an achievement. It is a position that God is giving you. It is not an achievement. So how will this translate to all of us here tonight? Having said that, or having, you know, understood that truth, it begins to tell all of us that at the end of the day, your current job or how much you make, they do not define you. At the end of the day, whatever it is that you earn on your 15th or 30th, those things do not define you. It should not make you insecure because you have less. It should not make you arrogant because you have more. Because I want you to catch this. At the end of the day, it is not about how much you earn, but how much of God's promises do you begin to confess over your life. I don't know with you, but if you look at your Bible, you would come to understand that every single page of it, it begins to unpack God's blessings over your life. And here's what I'm going to do right now. In the next 1 minute or so, I'm going to bombard you with scriptures that talks about your blessings in Christ. Look at this one. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says here, and my God will meet some of your needs according to the riches of your Father. Are we excited for this one? That's not even in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. It's Philippines. That's a Filipino mindset. That's not Philippians. Look at this one. And my God will meet some. That's the sashay mentality of the Filipinos. Listen, God is not just interested with your Safeguard or Colgate. He's interested with every single need that you need in your life right now. And it is not about the riches of your father, even if your father is the best OFW out there. That is a Filipino mindset that we have begun to embrace over the generations. But that is not the truth that the Bible is telling us. The Bible is telling us in the real Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says here, and my God will meet all your needs. The Bible says, God will meet all your needs according to the riches, not of your dad or your mom, but according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. It doesn't even talk about the riches in Jesus. The riches in His glory, the splendor of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know with you, but every time I look at this verse, whenever you hit a financial wall, go ahead and get this verse, memorize this verse, and begin to confess this over your life. You hit a financial wall. No, Lord, I refuse to live in this kind of poverty mentality because the Word of God, your Word says that you are going to meet all of my needs according to the glory, your glorious riches. If you're here tonight and you love worshiping God, here's what the Bible has to say about you. It says here in Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, it says here, worship the Lord your God. And guess what? His blessing will be on your food and water. I said, His blessing will be on your food and water. I don't know with you, but I get so excited whenever my fridge is full. If I open my fridge and it's all just water, I know for a fact that there's something lacking here. I need the M&Ms, Lord. You keep worshiping God. Guess what? God would begin to orchestrate blessings over your life. But here's what I want us to understand, friends. My prayer for us, Victory Dumaguete, I pray that we will be a people who will not worship God just on a Sunday. I pray that because work is a worship, that coming to work, you begin to pray in tongues, you begin to worship God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That you get to worship God whenever you have the chance to. Worship God. You know, you don't have, the truth is, even if your voice is so terrible, you're not as good as Adonis, you don't have the anointing of the man. But nonetheless, God would receive your worship. You worship God, whatever the tone is, just worship Him. God will accept that. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19, it says here, the sovereign Lord is my strength. And it says here, He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Who am I here? There was a season in your life wherein you feel like your financial life is uphill, is going uphill. It's just so hard. All of us would begin to experience those kinds of seasons. But I don't know how you read your Bible, but I pray that whenever you read your Bible, you begin to scrutinize it. I don't know with you if you've encountered this verse. Haven't you thought about this? Why in the world, Lord, are you talking about the feet of a deer? Why not a feet of an elephant or a dog or something? I have here a picture of a white-tailed deer. And true enough, this kind of feet would enable them to stride swiftly uphill without even falling. If there's something wrong going to the north, they can swerve to the right in a very swift manner, gracefully. Now, my point here is this one. We encounter so many troubles in our life. And sometimes, before we get closer to God, we try to solve it on our own, not knowing that there are so many things or promises in the scriptures that promises breakthroughs over your life. All you have to do now is confess it and appropriate it in your life. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7-8. It says here, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Who are you trusting God for something the next 3 months? You know, some of you here, you've been trusting God for 3 months. God tell you, okay, let's bring it to the fourth month. Are you still going to trust me? Not just that, there's confidence in that trust. You know who you're worshiping. You know what He is capable of doing. He has done. Lord, You have done this before. Lord, katiting lang to sa'yo. That's why I have confidence, Lord, that You're going to cause breakthroughs to happen in my life. Some of you are believing God for promotion. You're believing God for a specific, you know, amount. Psalm 31 verse 19, it says here, how abundant are the good things that You have stored up for those who fear You, that You bestow in the sight of all, and those who take refuge in You. I don't know with you, but my prayer for all of us is this one, that you know, with your natural eyes, you see a lot of things around you. My prayer is that whatever it is that you see, when was the last time that you went out there, you did stargazing? Oh, you love doing stargazing. You know, my wife and I just did stargazing last Thursday. It was just so wonderful. You know, sometimes we do stargazing, you make it productive. Try doing stargazing while reading the book of Genesis, reading the book of Exodus, and you're going to be amazed. Man, these are the very stars that Abraham saw. And guess what, friends? Guess what? By virtue of what Christ has done on the cross, the Bible says you are heirs together with Abraham. Meaning to say, His blessings, put a gospel lens on, it is your blessing. Whatever promises that you find in God's word, guess what? As much as it is for other people, it is also for you. The problem is that sometimes we look at different blessings, we get it, and we apply it in other people. Ah, this is good for him, not for me. No, if you're a child of God, that is for you. That is for all of us. Let me just backtrack a little bit to verse 26. It says here, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. You know, the word dominion here is a very strong word. Hello? Whenever you talk about dominion, you don't go to your class and tell your classmate, I'm going to have dominion over you. Baka batuhin kanila. It's a very strong word, but that is the word that God has given us. This will begin to tell all of us here tonight that God has given or endowed us the authority to decree blessings over your life. If there's nothing in your packet, decree blessing in your packet. Your words are powerful. Stop saying words like, wala akong pera. Because if you keep confessing na wala kang pera, di wala ka talagang pera. You begin to confess God's word over your life again and again and again. And you would begin to see God's blessing happen. It's not like, I'm not saying it's like magic or something like that. It's just the position that God has given all of us. In verse 31, it says here, God saw everything that He had made, and look at this one, and He said, behold, it was very good. The word behold here simply means to rest. Because everything has been created by God, all you have to do is rest. Don't you want that kind of life? That you're not, you're just basically doing a blessed work? Now, here's what I want us to catch as we shift gear here for a while. The verses that we are reading here are found in Genesis chapter 1. We're talking about a perfect people, a perfect couple in a perfect paradise. Fast forward to Genesis 3, we don't understand what happened. Adam and Eve sinned, which was called the very big fall. So basically, curse came into us. If before, all we have to do is that just name the plants, now we have to work for us to be provided. Hello? And that is a terrible thing for all of us. But here's the catch. Because Jesus died on the cross, what He basically did was that He took the curse and gave us the blessing. Meaning to say, He restored us to our original state. Now, you may not be a perfect man, but you are a redeemed person in a fallen world. You are a redeemed man, meaning to say, even if you're living in a fallen world right now, you can still decree blessings over your life. I hope we get to understand the very power and authority that we have as believers. If we talk about the redeemed man in a fallen world, this is what the devil would want to happen to us. Look at this one. Well, you have a motto in life. Or as a church, we have a vision. And that is to what? That is to honor God and make disciples. John chapter 10 verse 10, this is the motto of the devil. The devil comes only to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And that is what the devil has been doing since time immemorial. He's trying to steal from us. He's trying to steal, you know, deals from us, steal relationship from us. And the Bible says he also what? He would also want to kill and destroy you. Now I want you to catch this. If this is the case, if his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy you, sure, there might be things that has been stolen from you. But if his next goal is to kill and destroy, then why are you still here? Why are you still alive? Hello? It gives you a picture, friends, that the devil has limited power over you. You are a son and a daughter of God. You are more powerful. You can decree blessings over your life. If things has been stolen from you, you can actually demand a 7 times return for whatever it is that has been stolen from you. Those are the things that you have as a believer. Now that we are a Christian worker in a fallen world, that is who we are. So this doesn't undermine the fact that we have to work. By saying that you are blessed to work, I'm not saying that you don't have to work. You have to work. Because even with the blessing, Adam still needed to work. So meaning to say, work is sacred. As much as you feel like preaching the word is sacred, your current job right now, guess what? However menial that is sacred in the eyes of God. I don't know with you, but have you ever had those childhood dreams? You're about to graduate from kindergarten and your teacher tells you, Jan, what do you want to do when you grow up? You write something. One of our friends here, we got a hold of her childhood photo when she was in kinder. Look at this one. This is what she want to be when you grow up. She said, I want to be a teacher. This is Charmaine. I don't know if you know her, but Charmaine is currently our finance officer. Before joining us full-time in the ministry, she was a teacher. All right? But nothing beats this next picture right here. This guy is one of our kids from Kids Church. Look at this, what it says here. What do you want to do when you grow up? He said, I want to be a legend. With a position of blessedness. I want you to catch this. Can you imagine how powerful you are if you come to understand that you are in a position of blessedness and then God gives you a dream? Can you imagine how unstoppable you are if you have a great vision and that you are blessed by God? Hello? I mean, that is a good kind of life if you ask me. So what I want to talk about here for a while, I want us to look at two characteristics of a Christian worker. Are folks ready for this one? I'm looking at the book of Proverbs, and I want us to understand that there are two characteristics that we need to have as a Christian worker, whether you are working in the bank, whether you are in agribusiness, whether you are in the academe, or whether you are in the business or in the medical field. We need these two. First one is diligence. Second one is integrity. Diligence and integrity. Let me just start with the first one. Are folks ready for this one? This will be very quick, and I don't know, this might make some of you feel uncomfortable, but nonetheless, I'm already here, I'm preaching. Okay? Now look at this one. Diligence. Let me talk about diligence for a while. Look at this. It says here, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 to 11. I like this verse. It says here, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. You know what this verse is telling us? This verse is telling us to stop being lazy. If you are a Christian, guess what? If you are a Christian, I want you to catch this. You have to be the most hardworking man in the workplace. Just stop being lazy. Try to do hard work. I don't know with you, but our nation, I don't know, for our foreigner friends here, you must have noticed this, you know, in your stay in the Philippines, that we have a lot of guys like this one. We call them tambay. It's short for standby or bystanders. Now listen, I'm not putting any people down. That's not my point. But I want you to catch this. I haven't been in any nation or any city around the world. I haven't been in any other city all over the world that has seen as many tambays as the Filipinos. And I want you to catch this. As much as this looks funny or something like that, there's a spiritual reality that we are contending in the Philippines. In fact, I want you to understand this. Kung may sweldo lang ang pagiging tambay, maraming mayaman sa Pilipinas. This is a picture of hopelessness. You know, this nation has been robbed of hope. And I tell you what, as a church, we have a role to play. We have been robbed of hope. You talk to any taxi driver, talk to them. They would always throw curses against the government. Why? Because they feel like the situation of this nation is already hopeless. I don't think so. It's not gonna happen. This is not hopeless. Not unless we do something about this. As a local church or as a movement. This is deeper than we thought it is. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. Look at this verse. It says here, all hard work brings profit, but mere talk only leads to poverty. Do you have friends who are like that? When they talk to you, you feel like, man, this is the son of like this and son of like that. They are big talkers. Stop being big talkers. That is not how God created you to be. Look at this one, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. I mean, let's try to be honest with each other here. There's always a certain point in our week wherein we try to chase fantasies. After 10 minutes of thinking something, you would realize when you come to your senses, man, those are wasted 10 minutes. It could have been productive in Bible reading. Hello? Stop chasing fantasies. Start working hard. Start working smart. Start asking God for wisdom. I know this story. There was a guy who came to his friend and he said, grabe mga bro, ang pangarap ko kumita ng 200,000 pesos a month tulad ng daddy ko. Sabi na ng mga friends niya, grabe, yung daddy mo 200,000 a month ng sweldo. Hindi, yun rin yung pangarap niya. Stop chasing fantasies. Start doing something. And sometimes we desire to get rich quickly. Look at this verse. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. I have to say this with a smile. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Sometimes in the Philippines, we wanna be rich right away. We wanna be wealthy right away. I mean, there's nothing wrong with believing for that. Pero minsan, because of that wrong dreams, lagi kang nasa scam. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. One who is slack in his work. A slacker talks about someone who is lazy. Has this ever happened to you? You know, you wake up in the morning and the weather is just so good. The weather is just so perfect. And you are on your bed, you are in your comforter, and you feel like, man, you just don't want to go to work. So you try calling your boss, 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 I cannot go to work today. And your boss says, you know, you have to go to work. Even if you have a fever, you have to go to work. And sometimes some bosses would just accept excuses if someone in the family dies. And sometimes because you're so desperate to sleep 30 minutes more, you call your boss, boss, my lola died last night. Sabi ng boss mo sa'yo, grabe, pambira ka, the past 6 months, 5 beses na namatay lola mo. All because you wanna be absent. Stop being a slacker. Look at your hands for a while. Look at your hands. Tell your hands, stop being lazy. Start being productive. Start working. Aside from diligence, look at this one. I want you to catch this. Here's the catch. Even if you're the most skillful guy in the whole wide world, according to you, even if you feel like you're the most handsome person in the world, if you are a person who doesn't have a character, who doesn't have integrity, people don't want to work with you. In this Google generation, whatever you're good at right now, someone else can learn that. You cannot just import character, you cannot import integrity. I'm talking about hard work. Sure enough, there are thousands or if not millions of hardworking Filipinos out there. There are millions of Filipinos who are working smart, but because they don't have an upright heart, they become corrupt. They use their intelligence, they use their hard work to scheme their way to get more money. Hello? At the end of the day, guess what? Integrity matters. Heart matters. And I tell you what, this starts small. It can start with a paper clip. It can start with a ball pen. It can start with coming to work early. Hello? Look at these verses right here. It says here, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food and at harvest." You know, when I was younger, I would really observe ants. Man, they're just so busy. I'm not saying that you have to be busy and all of those things, but they would just really do their job. Now, here's the catch. Look at this one. The verse tells us that even with no commander, overseer, or ruler, they do their job. My prayer is this one. I hope it's the same way with all of us. Even if your boss is not around, even if your teacher is not around, you still work hard. Hello? Even if our boss is not around, if your boss is not around, it is not Facebook time. We still have to work hard. I have a picture of the staff of this church right here. Look at these guys right here. Pinaka magaganda, pinaka guwapo, mga tao sa balat ng Dumaguete. Listen, I can firmly say that I work with the most hardworking and trustworthy people in the world. You know, I've been out for 2 weeks. A lot of things can happen. I've been out for more than 2 weeks. Things could happen. Things could get crazy. But guess what? The past 3 Sundays, this church has been averaging 1,200 people in attendance. At the end of the day, it's about me. But these guys, I just trust them. Even with me not being here, I know that they are doing their job. I just thank God that we have these kinds of people. They work hard. My prayer for all of us is that because we are the Christian man in the workplace, my prayer is that, you know, people would begin to notice it. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 9, "The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out." Next verse, Proverbs 11 verse 1. I like this verse. Look at this one. "The Lord abhors," look at this one, "dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight." Have you ever been victimized by a dishonest scale just like this one? You went to the Changi, you bought 1 kilo, you went at home, you feel like, man, this is not 1 kilo, kulang ng 1.5 kilo. Naloko ka. I mean, we hate it when these things would begin to happen to us. How will this translate to us? I don't know what is a scale. I don't know how a scale translates to your current job right now. Your scale could be your time in work. If your work is 9 a.m., then it is 9 a.m. It is not 9:02. There are different ways at which we could look at this one. Look at this. I have here a picture of my wife and I. We used to have this partner when we were campus missionaries, and he owns a very big, you know, he owns what we call the House of Praise. I don't know if you're familiar with the House of Praise. Anyone familiar with this shop right here? You know, they are the licensed distributor of Christian music in the Philippines. In fact, this guy is just so generous. He makes other Victory churches use his license for us to be able to use songs. But many of you don't recognize House of Praise already. It's because they closed down. They transitioned to what we call now the worship generation. But here's the catch. This friend of ours closed down his shop simply because he realized he cannot sell CDs anymore. No one is buying CDs from him, worship CDs from him, simply because Christians out there would just begin to download it here, download it there. I'm talking about the Christian community stealing a copyright. he lost, his business dwindled, and thank God, God gave him the wisdom to do another thing, which is another line, which are Christian t-shirts for that matter. What is an honest scale for us? Look at this one. Some of you really love this. I'm not going to take long in explaining this next picture right here. You feel like you download, it's just harmless. It's harmless, right? Not until you know its implication. At the end of the day, I want you to catch this. Kahit balibalik tarin mo yan, stealing yan. Kahit balibalik tarin mo yan, stealing pa rin yan. At the end of the day, if you are a good citizen of this nation, I tell you what, if you are up for a nation building for this nation, because God has called us to be a salt and light to our world, by doing this, you are not just a small, you are a big fraction to the overall problem, which is piracy. And this has been stealing millions in our nation. There are so many things out there that we do. I'm not singling out any of us. But this is what we call dishonest scales. Another one before we end. Look at this one. James chapter 5 verse 4. It says here, look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who moved your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You know what this tells us? If you are here and you are an employer, this tells you that you have to give the right wages. A fair one for that matter. Whenever you buy something, whenever you buy stuff, it comes with a catalog, right? You read the catalog. You know, we have a lot of time reading catalogs. We have a lot of time reading brochures. But who among us here tonight have read just even one page of the Kasambahay Law? That talks about the rights of your house helper, the rights of your mates. As much as you have a right, they also have a right according to the law of the land. And as a Christian, we follow the law of the land. Fair wages. Listen, read your Bible. The moment you go against the poor, that is a terrible decision on your part. God is close to the brokenhearted. He always looks after the widow and those who are poor. You go against them, you go against God. Hello? Be kind to the poor. Give them fair wages. Do not trick them just because they are unschooled. Are folks with me? Last but not the least is this one. Romans chapter 13. Verse 6 to 7, it says here, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, the Bible says what? Pay taxes. Mahirap po, puro tayo reklama sa gobyerno tapos hindi naman tayo nagbabayad ng tax. I mean, what gives you the right to do that? At the end of the day, if you are an upright Christian worker, diligence and integrity, pay your taxes. Amen. If you're working, please lift your hand for a while. I want to see your hands for a while. I have something for you. For those of you lifting your hands, some of you have felt this maybe the past few weeks. Coming to work, you feel like, man, it's just so tiring. Sometimes you are so stressed. Oh, I have become so stressed with work. Can I see here? You become so stressed. I have become so stressed also. If you are here and you are stressed or you are becoming stressed, look at what the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. It says here, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. Guess what? And I will give you rest. Let me just pause here for a minute. This is very important. It says here, it doesn't say, come to Boracay. It doesn't say, come to Shangri-La. It doesn't say, come to Dakak. Come to Bacolod and eat some kalea. It doesn't say, you know, go to this place, go to Hong Kong. It says, come to Jesus and He will give you rest. Sure, staycation, vacation, all of those things are great. But if you are a son and a daughter of God, at the end of the day, if you come to God, you will not be burned out. That is what the Bible is saying. You come to Him and He will give you rest. Whom He loves rest. God gives you rest. Jesus gives you rest. Then it says here, look at this one. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. Look at this one. And you will find rest for your souls. Some of you here, your soul is more tattered than a tattered jeans. Your soul is just wasted. You're just drugging yourself to work. You're experiencing all of this emotional whirlwind at work. You have a lot of enemies in the workplace. The Bible says, look at this one. You will find rest for your soul in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He begins to say, for my yoke is easy and His burden is light. Amen. At the end of the day, integrity, diligence. The moment you become so stressed, I read this last night according to something that I Googled. Person said, stressed is the opposite, it's just stressed is desserts spelled backwards. It builds your character. Amen.